Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, here was our assignment from yesterday. Do I contradict myself? Very well then, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. Once we step outside ego's imaginary world of duality, opposites, we can see that contradiction, like comparison, is not possible. Everything is. Everything. Life is everything. And of course, Huining is rumored to have pointed out that from the beginning, no thing is. Is that a contradiction? Life is everything. No thing is. No, it's not a contradiction. Where do we need to be standing to see that? Today, notice that ego's lack of rejection of resistance to something does not negate its existence or mean there's anything wrong with it. Really argues for acceptance. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Yeah.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, I'm just really calling to connect. I don't really have anything that's super coming up. I just wanted to participate.
Well, what's going on in practice? What are you seeing about the quotes? How about the assignments?
What am I seeing? So I've been reasonably center the last few days, and I think what I've been seeing is ego just going from one side of the duality to the other. So, it's, you know, I've been in this story for forever, it seems like, which is that.
Andrea, you're not alone in that, right? We're all in whatever story we're in forever.
So yes.
That's good to consider, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
And again, it's that thing where if all of a sudden you woke up in the morning with somebody else's karma, wow. We think we have problems now, but yes. That would be, okay, I've lost my mind, and now where do I begin?
Yeah.
And not lost my mind in a good Zen way.
No. So it's, I've been on this one side of the duality for a really long time, which is that I'm wrong, I'm not doing it right, I don't have a clue, I'm not good enough, smart enough. And then what I saw is myself going on to the other side of the duality, because I'd been doing that part for so long that it just didn't seem, and I've practiced for so long that it didn't seem, for some reason it couldn't get me as much, so it decided to put me on the other side of the duality. and so what I saw was that I was on the other side, and basically I'm not wrong, they're wrong, and I'm right. And
by the way, I am the smartest person in the world, and they are all idiots. And
yeah, and I saw that was not serving me well. There was a huge amount of suffering.
And in that way that ego often does when we're practicing awareness, it blew its cover. It was too big a shift from one side of the duality to the other. You saw it and recognized it for what it is.
Yeah.
That's what serves you, is recognizing what ego's doing for what it is.
Yeah, that's right. And it's funny that it took me so long to see that, even though it's so obvious, but it did take a while. And then, you know, I was finally able to drop it and be a little more humble without feeling like I'm not worthy enough to live.
Right.
So,
right.
It's a change. It's definitely a change.
Well, and the thing about what you're describing that is, you know, it's again, it's one of those hidden in plain sight. What's obvious to everybody who is not living inside our head, the only thing that matters in that karmic story that lingers forever is ego gets to use that, in quotes, information to be the center of somebody's world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all that's ever going on. You know, it doesn't care if you feel worthy or unworthy. It doesn't care if you think you're the smartest or the stupidest. It doesn't care as long as you will be in conversation with it.
And you know what? You were so right about that, because what I'm seeing is, as soon as I was able to kind of see through that process, a new process has risen to suffer over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And again, what I project you're seeing is, this is just one more thing to suffer over in a lifetime of things that I'm supposed to suffer over. Mm-hmm. This is the latest act that's being mm-hmm. performed, and I can either go along with that, or I can realize this is just designed to get attention,
mm-hmm.
and I can drop it, knowing that it's going to pass just like every other one of those stories has passed.
Yeah.
Same boring little story.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny is, you know, when I'm not identified, like with that other process, it's a boring little story, and the real difference is, am I identified or not? Because, you know, right now I'm partially identified with this other process that just arose, and it doesn't seem boring. You know, it seems compelling.
That's right.
And so isn't that an interesting distinction to see?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's boring when we're at center. But as you say, when we're identified with ego, ego finds ego to be the most compelling thing in the world. Even though that's why we can look around and, you know, I missed a credit card payment and they charged me extra interest. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this becomes the great of all time for the length of time that it's in the spotlight, right? If somebody says, do you know people are dying all over the world? Do you know there's a threat of nuclear war? Do you know that, you know, it's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in this trauma that I am. And how is that possible? Then, of course, when we catch on, ego wants to say, you are so egocentric. My God. How could you? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
See, you thought there wasn't that much going on.
Well, I really wanted to connect. It's funny because I was listening to the radio show from November, and I was feeling really lonely last night driving home, and there were two people who called and said how much they wanted to connect, and it was so great to hear that. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you hear that, you go to connect, and you realize, oh, I just connected.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, good. Well, keep an eye on it, huh?
Yes, I will. I will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrea. It really brings me to that to our assignment, to the quote, right, that no thing is, mm-hmm. that process just endlessly makes it up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
just as they say, out of whole cloth.
Yeah. Well, and that is what, and that whole cloth is everything, you know,
uh-huh.
in some senses. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I said it, I realized, you know, I don't know where that expression came from. I have to Google that as soon as this call is over. Yeah. But that it's just constantly picking and choosing, putting things together and going, so that we will pay attention to it. get into the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller.
Okay.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Janet.
Hello, Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. Yeah, I was not expecting to get on.
You were multitasking, weren't you?
Could you hear my pants?
Yeah.
I was really thinking about what was just being shared, and it's so funny because one of the things that I've just noticed in the last few days is this sense of it's not really as good as you think it is. It's sort of like this background voice of, you know, it's trying to pull me constantly into somewhere else. Where, and it's very vague, and I've really been watching it, like, it would be better, or you could be better, or it's so, like, background, and I've been doing a lot of recording and listening, and I think it's trying this way now to come in. I don't know how to describe it, because it's loud now.
Well, and fortunately, I know exactly what you mean. So it's doing that constantly. First of all, I love that ego is going to. Yeah.
Sherry, this is I think that we're hearing a lot of feedback. I don't know if Janet's on a speaker in some way. And
shoot. I'm on
That's
my.
That's better.
Okay.
No, actually, we're still hearing the feedback.
Shoot.
Is there a device between you and
phone? Let me put my AirPods in. Better?
Yes. Well, you sound farther away. Ashwini, is there still the background?
No, there isn't. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Oh.
Here, I'll turn it up.
Oh, there you are.
Okay.
Oh,
perfect.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Okay. So I just love that conditioning would tell you that things are not as good as you think. Right?
Right.
I mean, talk about moxie, right? So it's your life, and you're having a really good time, and you think it's really great, but it's actually not. That's just funny. So at any rate, conditioning is doing that process that you're talking about all the time with people. It's how it stays the center of everybody's world, right? So instead of being here and present and following life's guidance, attention is constantly going to conditioned mind because it's offering the, well, yeah, but And it only needs to introduce those kinds of little sounds to get attention pulled to it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and then when there isn't a response from me with that, then it goes to, yeah, well, things are good right now, but wait. But wait.
Yes.
But wait.
Yes.
It's just like you're saying. It's like this little nudge.
Constantly. And then when we start upping practice, we become really aware of it because people don't realize how much time is spent attending to conditioned mind until that attention goes to something else, which is the biggest argument in the world for recording and listening. It's almost like a barrier between authenticity and conditioned mind that the human being can see conditioned mind on the other side of it. So before it has complete access, and we just think we're thinking, and this is just me, and there's nothing going on. And by the way, I'm unhappy. then we start recognizing there's a conversation in conditioned mind. Okay? Now you're practicing such that you're not lost in a conversation in conditioned mind. So you're really aware of that. Well, yeah, trying to get through that barrier and get to you and pull you away. And periodically, because it's desperate, it comes up with something that is really visible. Like, right. Well, okay, everything seems fine now, but you just wait. And you hear it, but it has no choice because what you're doing is just cutting off its lifeline.
Hmm. I know, and before it would have been like, I would have thought that something really was wrong because I'm still having that. It's still back there doing that. And now
yes.
It's sort of like, of course it's back there doing that because that's what it does.
Yes.
And I'm not
yes.
there.
Yes. And an image for it would be kind of a shrinking. Right? So it used to be your, my, everybody's whole world. I mean, you lived inside it. We talk about conditioned mind and inside your head, but in fact, we lived inside our heads, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was our whole imaginary world that we were living in. Now with practice, we realize it is not that, and there's a feeling of being outside of conditioned mind and in life. And we can feel that phony, fake, artificial world of ego shrinking.
Hmm.
So is it still there? Yeah. Yeah, and it's like freeze-dried coffee, right? You add, right? You add water and you add attention and poof, there it is, seeming
oh, yeah.
to be as large as ever.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So it's just fun. Now, at this point, it's just fun and interesting to watch how it works, right? Now we're in the chemistry lab, you know, mixing things together and seeing, well, what happens when this and what happens when that? And it's not about me anymore. It's not personal. There's nothing wrong with me. In fact, I'm not the center of the universe. And, in fact, I'm not that ego.
Yeah, boy, is that so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had and I feel like this is related, but it doesn't seem like it's related, but I just feel, I want to say
that everything
but,
is, so that's
yeah.
okay.
So, yeah, life is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day I was doing a recording and listening practice and just looking around my room at, you know, and talking about all the things that I love. And I was in the room that I'm in most of the day when I'm working in my office, and I looked around, and it was like I had never seen my plants before in that room. I had never mm-hmm. seen the different colors, the different textures, the different designs. And I was just, like, stopped in my track, like, oh! And then I was like, whoa, well, what else is there in here that I've never seen? And,
yes.
you know, it's kind of that's what is available on the other side.
Yes, exactly. And with what you're describing, you can't make that happen, right? You can't walk in the next day and go, okay, everybody, you know, spring to life so that I can see what's actually,
know.
You know, it doesn't work that way. But as we keep practicing, that kind of thing is more and more our experience because that, what you're describing, as you said, is what life looks, feels like, sounds like when we are not experiencing it through conditioned mind.
Yeah, and it, exactly. So life is everything, which was, that was the experience of, and then no thing is, was my experience with it. Like,
yes.
there was just not me, not it, not, it was just.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
So just that, love those direct experiences.
Love those direct experiences, yes. All right, thank
yeah,
you so much, Janet.
Thank
that was
you.
Great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janet.
Sherry, I'm going to try to bring on some more callers.
Okay.
Here we go. That was just the most fantastic conversation.
that's worth listening to again, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Janet's last summarizing line there about where she was in relation to what it is. That was kind of it.
And what was dropping in as I'm trying to find the callers is it's like we talk about portfolios, right? And the majority used to be conditioning, now it's life.
Mm-hmm.
And now practice just alters the ratios.
Yes.
There's a sense of, I'm sorry, my browser is hanging up, so I'm talking in order to get my next caller on. But that experience of a momentary, I'm here, and then noticing that conditioned voice coming in, it almost takes a while to recognize that that's what it is, mm-hmm. That we're so conditioned to live inside our minds that when we wake up and we're not there and we see it intruding, it's a moment, we're taken aback momentarily. It's an interesting something.
Perspective.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. A change in perspective. We're aware of our change in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go.
You got somebody. Okay.
I got somebody. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jen. I am a passenger in a car in a place where the cell phone reception might not be great, but can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah. You sound good.
Yay.
I mean, you sound like you're a passenger in a car, but within that, given that background, you sound good. What's going on?
Okay. Very good. Well, I'm excited to participate. You know, there was that moment of like, I can't unmute today. The phone might die at any moment. And then it was like, no, I'm gonna get in the queue anyway and just see what happens. So here I am. So that just feels good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I love, all the conversations, but that first conversation, it's the place that I'm looking at a lot, and it's so helpful, the place of like, how conditioning is always just making the next, like, oh, my God, you need to now attend to this and get really worked up about this. And then that content changes, and, oh, now it's this. And I just so appreciate that conversation and wanting to keep looking at, not doing that. So it was great to hear you talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That is such an important awareness, isn't it? To catch on to the fact that ego is a drama queen and wants us to live in whatever drama it's got going on. If we had a person in our life like that, we would say, you got to go, you're exhausting. But because it's ego and because it's what we've always thought of as us, you know, it's my life, and this is the really thing in my life right now, we go along with it. And I think keeping a calendar of those things for even a month would be so instructive.
Just to kind of see how it keeps, like there's always this thing and then there's this thing and I'll just get a sense of all that. Yeah, that is a really great
idea. So what's the big thing now? You know, that could be what the calendar is. So what is the big thing? What is the now that I'm supposed to get involved with and get worked up over? And just, as you say, just watch them on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. It's got something.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I love that. That's a really fun idea. Because it also takes me to someplace you were talking about, I think, recording and kind of then listening back to maybe something, I don't know, a year ago or whatever, and just having that sense of getting, you know, more perspective on sort of how something worked out or what happened or, you know, what we didn't see, of course, at that point. And I bet that it would give such a great perspective, too, because I can so easily fall for that, like, but this thing is not going to work out. It's so bad. And, you know, whatever conditioning is trying to get me to believe is true. And I bet that it would be really instructive in that way, too, to see, okay, the thing that 2 weeks ago seemed like such a big drama is actually already shifting, or, you know, whatever. Always.
Yes.
It would be a great reminder to put the attention there instead of on the drama du jour that conditioning's always picking up. Yeah.
And that's a great idea, Jen. And if you were to do that, each time it starts with one of its dramas, just flip through the recordings and go back a year or 2 years or whatever, and see what it was talking to you about then. See how that's not an issue any longer. And by the time you've done that, you've really gotten some distance on whatever the current one is.
Yeah, which feels like it would reinforce the place of, right, we don't have to look to conditioning to panic and get worked up. We can look to life that things, you know, things go however they go in life, but that all that worked up stuff and conditioned mind never brings anything helpful. And it's like I know that on the intellectual level, but the behavior can be still so strong to feel like, oh, I need to go into the kind of always being stressed about whatever the thing is. So I love that. Thank you so much for that. I will.
Well, it's really, really good. And the word that you just put in there at the very end is it. It's building that stress, because the stress in the body signals you need to look to conditioned mind because something is wrong. And turning attention away from that has a twofold benefit. One, you're not doing that. And two, you will probably live a longer, healthier life, because living in that kind of stress kills people.
Yes, exactly. I've really been getting such a sense of that's such a, you know, and I can have great compassion that I think that's a family dynamic that we have without, you know, blame or judgment. It's just kind of a thing that I can see in my family and, you know, in the conditioning that is around me. And that's, I can have a lot of compassion and also see that I don't want to choose that for this person, that there has been for so long, like this chronic, you know, lower level or higher level, always stress and tension and worry. And I don't wish that for anyone.
And
I can do something about that. So, yeah, I really, I'm so grateful for
practicing. Well, and,
you
know, you'll hear people talk about being the first person in their family to go to college. You know, it's a big, very big deal when that happens. You can be the first person in your family to end stress.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. Yes.
It'll change everything for everybody.
Exactly. I mean, I kind of laugh, but yeah, what a beautiful opportunity to, you know, all the generations of misery, you know, and tension. And, oh, gosh, yeah, that's exciting. So, Thank you both so
much. Make a difference for everybody.
Yes. Exactly. Thank you for everything, and I'm so grateful that I probably won't be able to have cell phone reception enough to call in, but I'm going to then be listening to recordings, so I'm so glad even today I could get on, and it's a great help for ending stress as I go off to holiday gatherings and all of that, so thank you.
Yes, and Jen, add to your program that all of your recordings going forward are about turning to unconditional love, turning to the breath, being here, not getting involved in old stories, everything that relaxes the body, letting go of stress. Let those be your recordings and listen to them constantly.
Okay.
Okay?
That's a beautiful
your assignment.
All right.
Thanks, Jen. Be safe.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jen. What a wonderful assignment for the holiday season. To turn to unconditional love instead of
give the gift. Give the gift, right, that we all want.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, Sherry. So here's our assignment. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. We see constantly in our own experience that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is ever vigilant when it comes to defending its territory. Keep in mind, it considers us its territory. We must be here to catch ego's lies. The moment unfolds, and quicker than a wink, the voices come in with their no. True, the no is often not that dramatic, but if we're paying attention, we realize ego's whisper, uh-uh, is capable of bringing us to a shuddering halt. Today, listen for each lying no and return attention to the truth of this year now. Record and listen.
Mm. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Treasure yourselves and go happy.
Take care.